everyone. It's Colleen. I just wanted to give you a heads up that we recorded this episode on Tuesday, June 21st, and I held off on releasing it because Amanda was moving and I didn't want to skip a week. So I know we've gotten a lot of feedback since then, and I didn't want anybody to think that we were ignoring them. We will get to it next time we record, which is hopefully Tuesday, July 5th. Thank you. Hello, and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Woo! We did it right this time.
Yay!
Oh, I didn't mess it up. I'm so happy.
So what's up, ladies? How's it going? Did you have a nice weekend?
Yes, a very good weekend. Actually, over the weekend, I had a moment that really made me think of our last podcast because we discussed cougars at length.
Oh, man, I'm excited.
I went out dancing on Saturday. And I totally got hit on by a 22-year-old. No big deal. It was kind of fucking awesome.
We're an explicit podcast. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, yes.
Spoiler.
Yeah. So, I was just, like, dancing. And there's this guy that was dancing, like, sort of in the general area as us. And we, like, started talking. And I think I asked him if he was, like, from around there. Just, like, making small talk, whatever. And he was, like... He was like, oh, yeah, I was, like, born and raised here. I just moved back. I just graduated from college. I was like, oh, you just graduated from college. So that would make you, like, 22? He's like, yeah, I'm 22. I have an internship lined up for this fall.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, gee, golly. My life is out before me. I am so old. I'm graduated from college.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, though. Not going to lie. So that was my weekend.
Woohoo!
Did you guys have a good weekend?
Yeah, I did. I'll go next. We had Father's Day this weekend, and Jay had a toy show. And in case you guys don't know, Jay likes toys and like sells toys at a show. And it's actually really cool, and it's a lot of fun. Like, I really like going there and like just being kind of a part of it and like sitting back and watching him do his thing. Like I get really proud and I love seeing him in action. I think it's really cool. And he started doing it September of 2014. So a year and a half ago. And I noticed like the same people coming back and like looking for things. So I think it's kind of cool. Like he does this three times a year. I think it is three or four times a year. He's got a little following now. So I like watching it. I get proud of my man. I'm like, yeah, you go sell your Ghostbusters toys. we bring Zach there, and he's been there since he was 3 months old, the first show. And now, and like the people that run the show know who he is. So like when we walk in and they're at the door, they like wave us through because there's like admission to get in or whatever. And the guy was like, man, like Zach ran in this time. He's like, man, he's getting so big. So that was really cool. And we had a lot of fun. And then for Father's Day, I actually bought Jay a couple of things. My gift to him was the Squatty Potty.
What is that?
Wait, is that the thing that Richard Hatch was all about?
Maybe. I mean...
It's like when you take a poo, like...
And you put your feet up?
Squat.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, like... So it's like how people used to do it. Because... Like, gravity is supposed to help.
There's
so
a video.
The way that we sit on the toilet, yeah.
Everybody should Google the video. I mean, it is the infomercial for it. It's from Shark Tank, but it is, like, ridiculous. I mean, unicorns pooping rainbows and the Squatty Potty, and the actor in it has the best job known to mankind. Like, this is pretty much the best thing that he could ever do. Like, he should just quit now because he's never going to get a better job doing that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, totally
weird.
Google Squatty Potty. Swear to God.
No,
so Jay had asked.
So. No, thank you.
No, you should. It's like worth. It's going to be a common vernacular in pop culture, so you need to do it. Also, you should check it out because
it could be like yik-yak. It could be another thing. I just don't understand.
Do you understand good pooping, Amanda?
I suppose.
I mean,
so.
it seriously is like how like certain cultures still poop to this day.
It is as Jay went through the cultures.
Not on a Squatty Potty. Not on like a piece of plastic,
yes.
But like an actual, just like squatting.
Yes. Yeah. I gotta tell you, I've tried it. I have both good and bad feelings towards it. Like, it's good because it totally does work really quick. It cleans you out. Like, you're there for like 30 seconds and you go. But now I'm like, man, this was my time to like play on the computer or just have Zach free time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? Now that I'm just that weird person that's still sitting on the toilet after like 5 minutes.
You just need that time.
I really do just need that time. It's like the time that nobody bothers me.
Well, yeah. It sounds like the squatty potty isn't necessarily for everyone.
No, but it is really good. I mean,
how
I would.
You prefer to go?
I would assume that if, I mean, next time I have issues, I will totes let you guys know if it really helps then. But like, it's been awesome so far. And then I also got him matching San Diego Padres baseball caps for him and Zach. So I ordered those. So anyway, I think I've talked enough. Amanda, how was your weekend?
Pretty uneventful. I am moving, so a lot of it was dedicated to purging my life and getting rid of crap, which is really satisfying. Some packing, but mostly just getting rid of things so that I don't have to pack them. And then there was a street fair down the street from my apartment, and I scored a really awesome Marc Jacobs dress for $35.
That's awesome. Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, not that I'm like a fashion plate or anything, but I was with a very fashionable girl. And she's like, yeah, it's Marc Jacobs. You have to get it. So I said, but I got it, and I think I'm really going to like it. I think me and the dress are going to be really happy together.
That's good. Very good.
Yeah, just a lot of fun.
Before we get, because I know that we need to totally talk about a topic that we didn't have enough time for last week that involves your moving situation. But before we do that, I do need to plug the Jane Jack Patreon real quick. And that is, if you want to be a patron and support any of the shows, including this fine show, and help Amanda with her rent money someday, please visit patreon.com/JNJack. There are all sorts of awesome levels. We are totally going to come up with one where Shandy burns a bra on camera. And, you know, it doesn't really get much better than that. So do it.
Nice.
All right. So now that that awkwardness is out of the way, does anybody have anything else before we move on to business?
I think we're ready to go.
Yeah, all right. Let's do it.
So we had an awesome response to our release, but the one that I think is probably my favorite one, and I'm a little biased about this, but when I was trying to post the show, I asked Jay, like, can you come up with some kind of theme music? No, actually, he offered. He offered to, because I was editing it last week, and Jay was like, do you want theme music? And I was like, yeah, I want theme music, duh. I would love it if you could write something for us. So let me, we had some trial and error last Thursday, and let me play for everybody the song that he eventually came up with. The female laughter in the background of this video is me, just FYI, in case you get confused.
Vagina!
Oh my God.
Labia! Clitoris.
You may miss the point slightly. Not with the clit part, but everything else.
So that was our demo intro song, intro music. I
fucking love it. And I'm not even lying.
It was, I mean,
I kind of wish the tits were somewhere in there, but I, yeah.
You know, we had several different versions of that because Jay kept going back to play it every time. I was like, no, I don't like this one. And he would go back and he would say different things. And it was so fucking funny. Yeah, good times. We had fun. So we're going to have to come up with music at some point. I wanted to do just,
I mean,
do
I
that.
Think we should seriously just use that. I'd be fine.
Yes. I wanted to use that.
I think
but...
it's a really solid demo. I think it's got a lot of potential.
But yes. It's such an inappropriate start. I feel like there's always going to be a disclaimer like, this is an explicit podcast. If you're offended by the word vagina, it's about to happen in 9 seconds.
But can't we just put the little E on like the iTunes thing? And then everyone knows that it's explicit.
Yeah, we will. We will. But, you know, there's always people that don't pay attention.
And if they didn't look that on iTunes, then it's their fault?
Yeah, there's always people that don't pay attention. But... good times. I don't know. I was like, let's do that and let's be like broads. Cast. Like at least bury the vagina at first.
I think it comes on strong.
Yeah. I like it. I don't know if the vagina should be buried.
Don't. Yeah, I know. Never bury a good vagina, but still.
Yeah. your key point.
Yes.
Is that your thesis line?
Oh, man. Oh,
awesome.
Good times. We all just fake laughed for a reason. Which you'll never know because we edited it out.
But mine turned into a real laugh.
It did. Yes. So did mine. Yes. Anyways, going back to, we had some awesome feedback last week just in the Facebook group that I posted it in. So that was really cool. I do have to point out, going back to the cougar thing, is I believe that Greg went back and looked up the definition of a cougar. And he says, I know that the definition that we read said 35, but I say that you've got to be 40 or older to be a cougar. So holla.
That's much more along the lines of what I was thinking as well. So I definitely thank you for the clarification. Yeah. But at the same time, when I was a 2-year-old, I was kind of cougarish.
Wait,
so,
say that again.
I don't know. Maybe I'm.
You broke up.
When I. Okay.
Oh, that's too bad. When do I go with in the divorce?
I was going to edit that out, but now I've got to keep it in.
Guys, I don't want to come from a broken home. Holy show, too.
Oh, good job.
It's going to be awkward.
I was saying that I had always thought that cougar was much more like 40 also, so thanks for the clarification. But when I got hit on by a 22-year-old, I did feel kind of cougary, or at least it stood out. He was 10 full years younger than me. So I don't know, maybe is there a word for the younger ones? I don't know. I mean, I guess we don't need this because I was so against being a cougar anyway. I don't even know why I'm trying now.
Well, maybe it's more a ratio thing, years between, as opposed to a set the day you turn 35, boom, cougar.
Yeah.
But
10 years is 10 years. It's going to feel weird at 31 versus 41 versus, if you're 21 and someone who's 11, that's going to feel weird too.
I was just about to say weirdly awesome until you got to the 21-year-old.
I was not going to say weirdly awesome. I was going to say we're only 32, so there's a really big difference between, what is the standard cougar definition of 20 years younger and us trying to, date 12-year-olds.
Yep, I went there. You're welcome.
All right.
Just proving my point.
So there was also a lot of discussion on my pronunciation of Oregon, which apparently is Oregon. So yes. I will admit that I was wrong.
I'm sorry, wait. Can you, you broke up a little bit.
I was wrong. Drake said, as a son of a native Oregonian. Oh my, I can't say it. I can't even do that. And someone who spends a lot of time there, Colleen is saying it wrong. Oreginians, I am upset and correct you over this. So I was wrong, guys. I'm an asshole. There you go.
Okay, here's the real question, though. Are you going to now start saying Oregon, or are you going to continue saying Oregon?
I will try to say Oregon, but I feel 32 years of New York accent is going to make that really, really tough.
Yeah, the vowels, man.
Yeah.
Oh, and Brooklyn's back.
Yeah, sorry.
I love your accent, so maybe I should cut you some slack.
Holla. There was a bunch of comments on the Facebook page, which is in the Jane Jack group. So it's facebook.com/group/Jane Jack group. There were a bunch of people that corrected my Oregon pronunciation. Catherine said, I think it's Oregon when they're discussing the Oregon Trail, but Oregon all the other time. So technically, I can still be right. So take that.
Nope. Nope.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's just
I know.
A thing. Poor pronunciation.
I know. And then Nicole had something about my Oregon pronunciation. This sounds like I'm choking out the word. I can't. It's not sustainable, I don't think. But this discussion about.
It sound like you said Oregon, the instrument, or the things in your body, your spleen.
Exactly. Thank you. That's Oregon. Thank you.
My lungs.
Thank you. And when I read it.
Well. I wasn't justifying you. I was just saying that's kind of how it sounded like you were saying it in that moment.
Every time I read it when somebody has been trying to like say spell the pronunciation, they like origin, and I'm like origin.
I'm sorry. What?
I don't really like gin, but I can roll with it.
Wait, you don't like gin? What's wrong with you? It's delicious.
Oh God, gin is so gross. I mean, I'll drink a lot, but I won't touch. There's some things I won't touch, and gin is one of them. I just gin and rum. Oh. Other than a pina colada, I don't like gin and I don't like rum.
I didn't think I liked rum. Puerto Rico has changed my mind on rum. I'm back on team rum.
Well, in certain mixed drinks.
Marist all over again.
Ugh.
Yeah, rum was my jam in college.
Anyway, Nicole had mentioned peeing your pants sucks. I've had 4 kids and only really have sneeze pee issues occasionally. Colds and allergies are extra fun. My OBGYN made me put an alarm on my phone to remember to do Kegels. I don't know that they are helping. But they must be helping if she's not pissing herself like I am. Yeah. Not doing them.
It doesn't seem to be like limiting her life in the same way. It seems to be affecting yours.
I know. So now I've got to get in the mindset. Because I used to work for a physical therapist's office. So I kind of have to get in that mindset that it's like vag PT.
So yeah, have fun with that.
Yeah.
It's a muscle. You got to work it.
Which actually that reminds me also of yesterday. I had another moment that made me think of our first episode. I went to dinner with 2 of our co-hosts from the Tribe podcast.
Oh, and I'm so
they
jealous.
Both brought their 2 kids. it was awesome. But also me hanging out with 4 kids. And their kids are great. So it was fine. But it was just like, oh, interesting. I just talked up about how I don't want kids. And here I am hanging out with 4 of them. So there's that. But it was great because I got to hang out with them. It was fun times. We took some selfies. We had some ice cream. And then they left.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to deal with any of the hard stuff. So yeah, it was great.
Like a key distinction that you cannot want to have kids but still not mind being in the presence of kids.
Yes. Oh yeah, because actually Tim's daughter is like kind of my BFF. No big deal. But I don't have to like discipline her or deal with any of that stuff. So exactly. It's cool.
Cool. Yeah. That's the kids thing was actually a large discussion as well. I'll read some of the feedback, but then we have an email about it as well. Carrie had said, I love that there's somebody on this podcast who feels like me, married for at least 10 years and doesn't want kids. It's refreshing to hear.
We're out there.
I know.
It was great. No, but overall, it was just really great feedback. A lot of fun discussions. It made me feel all the feels.
I know. Me too. Me too. I was excited that people cared enough to do that.
Yeah. So I had a final thing that made me think of our pilot episode. Speaking of ice cream, yesterday I had ice cream. And actually, this has been a thing ever since we recorded our last one because lactose intolerance was also a big theme.
Do you stink right now?
Now, literally. Well, every time I've had like a little bit of gas or something in the last week since we recorded, every time I like fart or something, I'm like, oh, shit. Is this because I had milk? Oh, shit. Is this really ice cream? Now I'm, like, super paranoid that maybe I'm, like, becoming lactose intolerant and just had never identified the symptoms. I'm like, is that a normal fart or is it a lactose intolerant fart? I don't know. How does one know?
Well, do you have a rumbly in your tumbly before you do it?
I mean, once, but it was like, was it because of the ice cream or was it because of something else? I don't know. Oh, or was I just not feeling well? I don't know. But you guys kind of like opened my eyes to, I guess, I don't know, to maybe like what the symptoms could be. But I'm going to try to just forget that I even ever learned.
That's because
this cannot happen to me.
Oh, my
God.
That's
the first step. That's what I said, too. Next thing you know, you're buying fake cheese.
Oh, that will never happen.
It's actually pretty good.
Never.
Pretty good.
Nope.
Vegan cheese, man.
Oh, my God, no. No.
Well, according to CJ, 75% of the world is lactose intolerant. So, you know, we've got that going for
us. It's like the science of it, that like we're the only mammals that consume another animal's milk. Like, that can't be like good. Like, we're not hardwired to do it. I think it's just like our bodies are like, oh, well, okay.
I guess this is the thing
we're doing.
But we've been doing it for so long. Yeah, I get that. I don't know. Either way, I'm just going to try to forget that. But I did think about that a lot this past week, and it worried me. So I'm going to try to put that out of my mind and forget that we ever had that conversation.
All right.
Well, it's like, does anybody watch How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
Yes, like, but not...
the episode with the shattered glass.
Yes, exactly. You guys shattered my glass. That is exactly what you did.
We totally shattered your glass. Sorry.
So, Amanda, did you want to talk about your moving situation and all of that?
Yeah, sure. I guess I'm just kind of curious, sort of similar to Shandy's discussions last week about having kids and what other people thought. The big thing in my life is my boyfriend and I are moving in together next week. And having never lived with a significant other before, I'm just always curious how it worked for other people and the reasons for doing it and the learning curve of adjusting to life with that other person always there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. This is something we've been talking about for the past year. Because I've had random roommate situations where this time last year I was in need of a new roommate and, my sort of thought was like, well, why don't you just move in and solve this problem for me of needing a roommate? And, he really stuck to his guns of being like, I don't want to move in together out of necessity. I want to move in together because it's late and I want to do it. And at the time I had a hard time getting that because I was, looking at potentially not having a place to live. But, now being of rational mind, I'm glad we did wait because we really have had the entire year to think about it and to plan. And it just feels a lot less stressful. I'm excited, but I'm probably also a little nervous, as anyone would be. The unknown can be scary sometimes.
I think you're definitely, I totally agree with your boyfriend about not moving in out of economic necessity or whatever. I mean, not that that wouldn't have necessarily worked, but it's nice that, you guys got to take that time and then, do it because you really wanted to do it and not because you were feeling some sort of outside pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as cohabitation goes, I actually definitely think that if you're serious about, a long sustaining a long-term relationship. I know that, waiting to move in together until after you get married is a thing amongst, that people kind of believe in or whatever. But I would say that I really think that you should move in together before you get married or plan on being together long-term because it's a big adjustment period. I remember when I moved down here and for the first couple of months, Jay was actually still in college. So he would drive up and stay with me in Raleigh for a few nights a week, but then he would also stay in college for a few nights a week. And that was kind of a nice transition period because I also was on my own to figure things out for a little while. But it was definitely once he was here, 7 days a week and moved in, it was a lot more... It was a bigger adjustment than I thought it was going to be because I was all like, we're in love. It's going to be great. But, there are little things that everybody has to just get used to with one another. I feel like I'm trying to remember what it's all little things. So things like putting your dishes in the sink or Jay leaves glasses everywhere.
I do that. I'm that person.
Yeah, you're that person.
That person. I can't believe you didn't know this about me when we lived together. I leave glasses everywhere.
I might have noticed it, but I wasn't looking to marry you, so it was That's kind of different.
Oh, man, you weren't?
Well, I kind of was. I mean, you were my backup person if we both weren't married by 40. I was either going to be a cougar or marry you.
True. Yeah.
Because love is love is love. Who knows? You got to work. Every relationship has work and everything has kinks that you have to work through. So personally, I think why not get a head start before you give yourself those lifelong vows?
Yep. No, I couldn't agree more. It's we're sort of moving in together with the thought of the future, obviously. But we made a conscious decision of let's move in together first. See how that goes, and then we can talk about marriage or what that could look like. So it's it's not necessarily just sort of a formality to get to the next step. This is the step right now, and we're both sort of cool.
My husband and I, we dated for 3.5 years before we got married, and we didn't live in the same city, so we just never lived together. And we visited on the weekends, but during the week we were doing our own separate thing. And it was awesome because we had like our separate lives. I think we're both very independent. Like we need, I need my me time. Like I need to be alone and like do my own thing for a certain amount of time. And he likes to do that too. So it was great. Like we had time to just like live our lives and then we have our together time.
Yeah.
And then we got married and we still didn't live because of the time that we got married and the timing of it. Like we were moving to the US and we were applying for visas and stuff. So it was just like a little bit more complicated, I guess, than like your normal sort of situation. But like, and I was still finishing school in Paris and he was still not living in Paris because he didn't work there. So we like got married and still didn't live together. And then once I graduated, then we moved in with his parents. So that's like technically the first place that we lived together, which may be more common, you know, nowadays for like financial reasons or whatever, which is like kind of why we did it, because we were sort of just in this in-between place. And then we moved to the US a couple of months later and had like our first place together for the first time. So it was what, April, May, June, July, August. We had been married for 4 months when we first like, finally moved in together. And there was sort of that period of adjustment and like, we still have to find ways to like, I don't know, have our own space sometimes, like have our own, like do our own things. So I think that that's an important thing. And a big part of the adjustment, like you were saying, Amanda, when you're all of a sudden with this person, like 24/7, I personally think that you have to find a way to not be with them 24/7.
Oh yeah.
Because
no, absolutely.
It doesn't matter who it is, but like you need some space sometimes.
Well, I think that's just healthy for any relationship to have things that are individually yours.
Totally.
I think there is something nice about this. Like, hey, I did this really cool thing today. I want to tell you about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And even just like the idea that like your partner completes you, like I just think that's bullshit. It's like you're two like fully formed individuals coming together. So you should have your own things.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, like your own interests, and hopefully you have some shared interests also. But yeah, it's like you're a person and like I think it's important to not lose sort of your like personhood.
No, I agree. But like you should be able to complete yourself, and this other person partnering with you is kind of like the icing on a just an already pretty cool cake, you know, where like you're good by yourself and this other person just adds extra value, but the core is already pretty good.
I like that you're mimicking a cake.
It's the Italian in me.
Hey, totally get you.
It helps lose the point.
Totally get you, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I kind of want to eat a cake.
Yeah, I'm making a cake this weekend because I don't want to pack the flour.
Awesome. Oh, that is great.
Yeah, like I'm going to like a friend's dinner. And I was like, oh, I can bring dessert. And, you know, so I was like, all right. You're moving. You really don't have to. Like, no, it's better than having to move this box of cake flour. I would rather just use those ingredients and not pack them.
You literally mean pack the flour.
Yeah. Is there like a euphemism I'm missing?
No, I didn't get it. I was like, she's baking a cake because she didn't want to pack the flour. Like, just throw them out. Yeah. Like, you know, you'll buy more.
I know, but that's so wasteful. They're starving people around the world.
Yes, I thought you meant like, you know, like
flowers that like grow out of the
bloom.
Yes, or pack the flower is like euphemism for whatever you fucking do when you live together all the time.
You pack the flower.
Yeah, borrow a cup. Yeah, and then when you really want,
that's the episode title right there. Pack the flower.
Yes, I think flower in this case is the hidden V.
That's the hidden V.
Yeah,
and when you want to borrow a cup of sugar, it means that you want to add some spice to your life.
Exactly.
So there you go.
While you're packing that flower.
Sometimes it gets real tedious and like, you know.
And who doesn't love a good... That's true. And sometimes you're like, let's get this flower packing done quickly. I got to go watch Game of Thrones in 10 minutes. So I totally get
Orange
it.
Orange is the New Black, man. New season. Orange is the New Black.
Oh, no spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. But is it better than last season?
I'm not that far into it myself.
Oh, okay.
Again, lots of packing of flour. Like actual packing, not...
No, I mean, I hope that you're packing other flour. Like, I hope that you're packing all of the flour.
All the different types of flour.
Yeah, yeah. All the flour.
In all its varieties.
You might as well, because, you know.
Might as well, you know.
Obviously. Make lots of cake.
Make tons of cake. And make, like, so many different kinds of cake.
What's your favorite type of cake to make, Shandy?
Chocolate.
Is it bad if I say that I've always liked vanilla cake better than chocolate cake?
Because it depends.
If we're talking flavors, then I think it's fine.
No, I was just talking styles. I mean, I also like a good pound cake, but...
Girl, you and me both. You know what's also good is pie.
Mm.
Yeah,
which kind of goes to what we were talking about last week with our American pie millennial love.
Mm. Oh yes. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, right, moving on. We've covered cohabitation. I'll be interesting to follow your, you know, journey into cohabitation.
Yeah, our next meeting, it will be from the new location.
Excellent.
OMG. Yeah. Well, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Shandy and I are going
to this wall behind me.
Oh, you've lived in that wall for several years, haven't you?
Yeah, 5 years. 5 years I've been here.
Do you feel kind of sad about it?
Not now. I think I probably will when I'm standing in an empty apartment as like the movers empty everything out. But right now I'm like, I'm ready to go.
Okay, because I totally cried when we left Astoria and I was only there for 1 year.
it was different. Like, I think, you know.
I know. I was
done a roommate thing and.
Yeah, well, I was also leaving to live with my parents for a little while, so then I could go cohabitate like a true millennial. Yeah. And I think that goes back to what you were saying before, where I do think that more and more people, even our age and younger, like that generation, it's just our generation. Like, it's tough. Like, even if you find work right away, you don't always find work that helps you with the cost of living. And that is a tough thing. That really is. Like, I don't even know how we did it. It is definitely like just with credit card payments and student loan payments and rent payments. And it feels like there's always something that, like, even if you pay one thing off, then your car breaks and you're like, oh, fuck, now I need a new car. Like, there seems to always be something. And I guess our parents' generation, maybe they had that too. But also, I also think of the things that they didn't have, like monthly bills. Like, they didn't have to pay extra, you know, a month for like internet and
table.
Student loans. They didn't have student loans. They had like good paying jobs and they didn't have student loans. So like, I feel like that in and of itself, like that's a life changer.
It is a life changer. It is. Cause it's just, if you think about that, that's just like payments that you have added on that your parents didn't. So it's just, I get why people our age, you know, our generation lived with our parents longer than previous generations. And I think that that is it. I know people our age get married later, and that's for, you know, a plethora of reasons. I don't think there's any one reason why, you know, for the most part, our generation, I think, gets married a little bit later, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
I don't
know. It also depends on what region of the country that you live in as well.
Exactly.
That is a factor for sure.
Americans,
but I think it's like gone back by like at least like 5 years, if not more. The average age, if you take averages.
Yeah, I feel like I saw that recently too. If you think about like children, most people, again, I use most people in quotations. Majority of people I know have children in their late 20s and 30s, whereas like my mom had me when she was 24. I think Jay's mom had him when she was 23. I feel bad saying back then because now I'm like extra sensitive to the fact that like I'm gonna be a back then soon.
Your mortality is coming into focus.
Oh my God, totally. And I'm only like, I should only be in like a third life crisis. I feel like our parents may have had us younger or whatever, and like, and not so much they had shit figured out better, but like they had less. And this is hard to describe. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like they had less outside.
It was a different, they were different times and different circumstances. And I think that our generation gets shit on a lot because, like you were saying, people live at home for longer and people are having a hard time, like, holding down a job, and we're putting off marriage and we're putting off kids. But, like, it's
not
so simple.
Doesn't that make us responsible?
No. Exactly. We're putting off marriage. And-
go ahead, Amanda.
Also, like, not all of that is our generation's fault. Like, we were coming into the working world right at the start of the recession. So it's like, that's why a lot of people
that's
went home.
True.
Because there were no jobs. Like, the bubble burst.
Well, exactly. Like, and that's what I was going to say. Like, it's, the world is vastly different. Well, at least our, like, society is vastly different than what it was for our parents. Like, they, I feel like you're saying, they maybe went to college, if they did, and didn't really have to pay, like, very much for it. And then they got a decent paying job, you know, that paid them a living wage for that time standards. And then whatever, like, they got married and they had kids. And for us, it's like, just like you were saying, Amanda, like, we came into the workforce when there really weren't jobs. And it was like, I mean, how many people do I know that I went to college with who today have awesome jobs, but it's because they, like, got all this experience doing internships after college. So it was like, you go to this expensive college, you're like up to your ears in, you know, like in college loans and whatever. And then you're expected to do an unpaid internship for, like, sorry, I can't afford that, you know? So,
oh, no. Like, I think now that whole rule that, like, you have to pay interns, at least in New York, like, most all the big companies pay their interns now.
That's good.
Oh, I didn't
That's
know that.
Good.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know.
In television.
I think you have to.
Because there's that whole huge first thing.
And, you know, fair enough, like, with, you know, our points about our generation, but I will say, to the argument of the other side, is I know people in our generation that they might be younger than us, they might be our age, regardless, like, they are entitled, like, they do think that that fairy tale magic thing is going to happen to them, or they don't want to get a real job until they get the job that's perfect for them. Like, they think that working, and this is just, you know, a generalization, but they think that, like, working fast food or working, like, at a doctor's office or something like that is above them, because they are just waiting and hoping that, and crossing their fingers that somebody's going to discover them and give them, like, their dream job or something, and they're going to skip all that entry-level thing. So I actually do, I see both sides of the argument, but being there, I do think that, this is, man, I don't want to, like, sound like I'm betraying my generation, because I totally think that it's ridiculous that when I used to go to the store for my parents when I was in high school, it would be 99 cents for a gallon of milk. And now it's like, you know, $3 for a gallon of milk. So I totally get that. But, like, on the other side, I think that there are also people that live their life thinking that things are going to be handed to them, and they just don't know what to do. They don't know what to do with their life. And I think our parents' generation, they had a lot more of a guidance of what to do. But even my dad will tell you, he had like 15 jobs or something fucking crazy. Like, he worked everything from like a janitor at a college to a newspaper boy to like a substitute teacher to what he does now, which is insurance. So, like, my dad did what he had to do. And I know my uncle has said that he did that too. But I feel like our parents' generation had more guidance in what to do. And more of our moms were maybe able to stay home or something. And again, this is just...
Oh, but is that a good thing?
Yeah, but I don't think it's so much guidance.
Because actually, like, a working mother is, like, sets a... nothing against a stay-at-home mom. That's great if that's your choice. But it sets an example, actually, for your daughters that they can work. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, and I think I totally agree. I think it was more just... not so much having the focus, but it was just, like, our generation was raised to, like, everyone's special. Everyone gets a trophy. Like, you should do something that fulfills you. And generations before us, it was more of a, like, you get a job to make money to support your family. And, like, the idea of being fulfilled by that job wasn't necessarily, like, a card that was often, like, talked about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I think that like what you guys are saying about people thinking that they should have things handed to them. Like, I mean, we're definitely the trophy generation, but I think that those kind of people, I think it's more like people who sort of like come from at least a little bit of money in the first place, because if you don't come from money, you just can't have that outlook. Like, life is going to kick you in the balls and you have to get a job to survive. So if you don't have like some sort of, we don't have like a very good, you know, social safety net in the US. So if you don't have a good one with your family, then you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to just not work and wait until the right thing comes.
Yeah.
So I think that there's definitely like,
also, that's what she said.
Right. So,
like, I think there's also a distinction between like not getting a job because you're waiting to be fulfilled and still feeling like you'd rather have a different job because you're not fulfilled by your current one.
Well, no, sure. Absolutely a difference. I'm talking about people that I know that are, and again, I can think of a bunch off the top of my head that are doing like the minimal that they can in jobs because they need money, but like they're not actively pursuing advancing themselves because they're hoping that somebody's going to come along and like Cinderella them.
Yeah. And that's not how the world works, for yeah. sure.
No. It's absolutely not. But like, you need to put work into it. You need to, honestly, I feel like it's a combination of really hard work and a really good LinkedIn profile.
and some fucking
networking.
Like, seriously, networking and luck. Like, you gotta hustle, because the thing is, like, I have 2 advanced degrees and like some pretty, like, I think at least interesting experience in my professional life. But mm-hmm. when I was coming out of grad school, like for the last time, I must have applied for like 200 positions, and they were a variety of positions. There's like some that I was like way qualified for, some that I was slightly overqualified for, and some that I was like reaching for. And out of, seriously, I'm like talking 200 applications, I got one job, and I'm lucky because I love that job and it was my dream job, and that's great. But that's a lot of trying. That's like months of application. So, you know, it's partially because also like the economy has not been great, like we talked about. And there's just this also like oversaturation of people who are now like wildly qualified for all these positions. So what can you do? Like, it's yeah. rough. Like, unless you work in certain sectors, it's really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's also part of the, like, everyone gets a trophy that like we were raised to look down upon, like going to a technical school and getting like an associate's degree in plumbing or air conditioning.
Totally. Yeah.
Someone that, yeah. A plumber definitely makes more money a year than I do.
Yeah.
And we need plumbers.
Think that that's a shitty job. And it's like, you know, our parents' generation recognized the value of that. But like, no, that is a great job. I can provide for my family. Like, but we're like, no, I have to be fulfilled. I need to have a cool Instagrammable job.
Oh, that's a good point.
Maybe we're shooting ourselves in the foot by thinking that way.
You totally brought Instagram in it. Damn.
Someone had to.
I mean, we wouldn't be a semi-millennial almost cougar podcast without that.
Yep.
Damn.
God, that's such a good point. Like, how can we simultaneously be millennials and cougars? There's something wrong here.
The millennials become cougars. It's a circle of life.
It is the circle of life.
Oh my God. Life. Good times. All right. Oh, my God. We have some feedback that we need to get into.
Fantastic. I'm super excited for this.
You want to start with the email again, like last week, and then voicemails?
Sounds good.
All right. So our first voicemail is from Michaela. Email is from Michaela, who wrote in last week about keeping your maiden name or changing your name in marriage. This was on the subject of kids. We chose before marriage not to have kids. Although my health was a consideration for the doctors, it was not for me. For me, it was a complete lack of desire to have them. I am not what you would consider kid-friendly. In the beginning, people asked, and they asked often, when? It was suggested by random strangers that it was selfish not to have children. It bothered me for a second, but we just answered honestly and we moved on. Eventually, everyone else did too. It's interesting to note that my mom didn't really want kids, and 3 of my 6 female cousins also didn't want kids. Nature, nurture, who knows? We have really enjoyed life and the choice that we made. So I know Michaela personally, and I know that she does have some health problems, so that would, I guess, keep her from having children. But she says that she made this choice, like this was her own choice, that if she wanted kids, she would risk any potential health problems or whatever. But she just made this decision on her own. So it looks like, Shandy, you're not alone.
Yes! Yay!
The sequel, since we talked about this before.
Yeah. Actually, it's really interesting that she brings up also about how her mom didn't really want kids and 3 out of her 6 female cousins don't have kids. I have no idea if it's nature or nurture or coincidence or whatever, but I was recently talking to a family member of mine, and we were kind of going through, like, in the cousins, who has kids and who doesn't have kids and, like, who doesn't want kids. And there were a lot more female cousins of mine that don't want kids than I realized. So
interesting.
That's
interesting.
Do they have reasons or?
I'm not sure if there are concrete reasons. Well, definitely, like, for at least, like, I know one of the reasons, and it's like maybe along the similar lines as Michaela. But for the other ones, I don't know. I'd have to ask. I haven't talked to them in a while. But it was just interesting to me because even though, like, I don't really want kids, like, I still fall into that trap where I, like, maybe make assumptions or, like, the default setting is, like, oh, I guess, like, they'll probably have kids someday. So it was kind of nice to hear that, like, I'm not alone either. And we come from a really big family. So it was kind of weird that, I don't know, I would just assume that maybe they would also want a big family, but no, apparently some of them want a very small family, which consists of them and their partner and maybe some animals and maybe not.
Maybe do it.
No, Michaela's cool. Michaela's awesome though. Michaela is good people. Next up, we have a voicemail, and this is from Uncle Larry, who coincidentally is also a frequent caller to the Married Man podcast. He also sounds like a frequent guest host of the Married Man podcast. So I guess we'll see, you know, how this goes.
Hi, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This is Larry. And I was just thinking about Game of Thrones a lot lately. And thinking about how the female characters are portrayed, especially in the last season, I think of, like, the Sansa, you know, Ramsay Bolton scene specifically. I was wondering, what are your guys' favorite and least favorite portrayals of feminine characters or female characters in modern media? I mean, are you guys Katniss Everdeen fans or Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Like, what as far as in the positive, and who do you think ranks as some of the worst portrayals? Probably most romantic comedies, right? Okay, well, I've been Larry. Can't wait to hear your first show. Bye.
Okay, so as far as Game of Thrones goes, like, I guess I'm going to just throw out, like, a spoiler warning if you're not, like, up to date with the last episode. Is that fair? I mean, it aired, like, 3 days ago at this point. When this comes out, it will have aired, like, a week ago.
Okay, so I'm going to set a timer. I'm going to set a timer for 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, we can come back. If you want to come back in, I will stop Shandy or myself mid-sentence and tell you if you need to come back in another 2 minutes. So, 2 minutes, go.
Okay, since Larry started off with Game of Thrones, I really wanted to start talking there because, like you said, last season, like the Sansa stuff, actually there are some really interesting articles comparing what happened to Sansa and how it was used in Game of Thrones and like a similar rape scene in Orange is the New Black and just how they did like a such a better job with it. But
Wait,
I want to say
the New Black or Game of Thrones.
Oh, Orange is the New Black was like it had a, like a good, you know, like I mean,
oh,
there's not.
Were
like
you
a gonna good
say a good
scene,
rape scene?
No, I was gonna say they did a respectful job with the rape scene, whereas like the Ramsay Bolton stuff, not so much.
The sensitivity factor.
Yes, So, and also like the focus of it and how it was filmed and like the how it was used like in the narrative, et cetera, et cetera. That being said, I will say like after episode 9 of this last season of Game of Thrones, I am like loving how it's like all women all the time. All of the ladies are amazing. I've always loved Arya, although her character, the actress who plays Arya has said off screen that she doesn't consider herself a feminist. So I was like, oh, that's like a major strike. I'll give you a pass because you're young and maybe, but that kind of turned me off. But her character in Game of Thrones, I've always loved. Sansa is really coming into her own. And I think that especially in the last couple of episodes, she's been awesome. And she's been like a really strong female character. Dany obviously has always been amazing. I also am loving, God, what's her name?
Yara. Yara.
From the Ironborn?
Yeah, I think it's Yara. Because I want to see Yara and Dany make out, but that's just me.
I was fucking freaking out during that scene. Like, they hinted at that in the last episode, in episode 8. And when those two were in the same scene together in episode 9, like, I kind of lost my shit. And so I can't wait to see where that goes. But that was pretty awesome. So it's been, like, very female-focused. But the one thing I will say about Game of Thrones, too, that I was thinking afterwards was, like, what strong have in the series who haven't been raped on camera? Like, that really sucks. You know, I think Arya is the only woman, really. So there's that. But now we can stop the Game of Thrones conversation. If the 2 minutes are up,
they actually are. They're up. You were 10 seconds over, but you did
not that bad.
That was pretty awesome. I'll edit out 10 seconds somewhere in there.
Perfect. So to open it up, like back to the rest of pop culture, et cetera, like who are your guys? Like, who do you guys watch? Who do you like to watch? Are you Katniss people? Are you like who, you know, who else are your favorites?
I like Katniss in the first two books.
I think I like Katniss because I think she's real.
I like Hermione.
Yeah, I like Katniss. I fucking love Hermione. Yes. I second you on that.
Yeah, I do too. But I think what's interesting about Katniss is that, like, and maybe it's also because the story is told, like, first person, mm-hmm. is that you see her neuroses and her emotions a little more. Like, with Hermione, like, she just gets to be kind of smart and sassy and badass and save the day. But, like, you don't really, like...
I mean, because...
You see her really emotionally uncomfortable.
But let's be real. Like, with Harry Potter, I love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But... It should probably be called the Hermione Granger series. Right? I mean, am I right? It
comes in and cleans up all the boys' mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. She's kind of the badass.
She's a badass. I just want to say, as far as Game of Thrones goes, and just skip ahead 1 second. Like, just, you know, cover your ears. Cover your ears right now, because I'm going to say, fuck yes.
Red Wedding.
No. I guess, okay, cover your ears again, because we didn't say it then. Fuck yes, Sansa, yay, go you. End of this past episode, which was Battle of the Bastards. Okay, yay.
Yes, and I loved when she took
hold on.
Down. And
everybody, skip ahead if you haven't seen Battle of the Bastards yet again. Just like 5 seconds, go.
Mother of Dragons.
Amanda's gonna shout things out.
Winter is coming.
No, I loved when she took Jon Snow to town and was like, hey, maybe you want to include me in this little council thing. Like, I actually fucking know the dude. Like, why would you not ask me?
I love how the internet is like, Sansa was wrong because she didn't tell him about Littlefinger maybe bringing his army and the Vale and all that. And it's like, well, he also wasn't listening to her, so there's that.
Yeah, there's that. And hey, they still, like, fucking saved the day, so it's all good.
And, I mean, you know, only one character that we really like died, so, I mean, blah, 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 blah. 1.5. We'll give 1.5.
1.5.
Well, one we haven't really liked since season 2, right?
Oh. One we haven't really seen since...
Right. Yeah. I mean, one zigged when he should have zagged, but that's also the story of borrowing sugar from your neighbor, right? All right, Game of Thrones talk is over. Strong female characters in literature, books, yay.
Well, no, we're talking, I think, more broader, like pop culture. I mean, yeah, like literature is one thing.
But yeah, yeah, okay, pop culture, you're right.
Pop culture.
Oh, okay, I got one. I've been reading...
there it is.
I have one. So I recently read Serafina and the Black Cloak, which is like a children's story, but I fucking love children and young adult stories, so I'll always read them.
Yes.
And she is actually, I think she's like a 12 or 13 year old girl, whatever, and she's like the heroine of the story, which I know sounds like the drug, but that's my accent, so everybody just shut up and don't write in.
No, that's the correct pronunciation.
Heroine?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Heroine. Fantastic. Yay! I didn't say something that sounded stupid because I'm from the Northeast, which happens to me frequently. But, so...
I like it
now.
She's a young...
I like it.
Northeaster.
North, that's right. So you, Amanda, you know what I'm talking about when people are like, what?
Yeah.
How do you say era?
Ours are hard.
How do you say era? E-R-A? Era? Era? How do you say drawer?
Era.
But
how do you anyway. Say drawer?
Draw.
On.
Anyway, she's
tell
a cool character. My heroine. So my 12-year-old girl heroine. I really like the book, and I pre-ordered the next one on Amazon when it comes out in July. But
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I think she's a good female character. I mean, she doesn't rely on no man to save her, and plus she's like 12, and she's like super badass, so I'll go with that. But I know that there's... I haven't read the Divergent series. I actually own them, but I haven't read them yet. I know that the lead character of that is supposed to be super kick-ass, right?
Yeah, I like the Divergent series, but I think that's also like... Getting back to Katniss, this idea of like a strong woman, but also having a lot of neuroses and anxieties and faults. And I think sometimes we forget that like a woman can be a badass and be strong, but also like have moments where she's really insecure and uncomfortable. And I think it just, you know, it makes for a deeper, richer character. So I think I tend to gravitate more towards that, like someone that is
okay. So
here's both lines.
Here's my thing with that. Is I totally get that, but I think that TV, like generally, and you know, maybe novels to an extent, but TV definitely sometimes goes overkill with that. Let me go back to Alias, right?
Absolutely.
I love Alias. Yeah. I love Alias. I think Sydney Bristow is so cool. But I recently rewatched.
Yeah, I forgot about Sydney Bristow.
I recently rewatched the first three seasons because I feel like after season three, like it's not worth it. But she's really annoying in season one. Like they make her to be whiny and totally like, "Daddy, why didn't you tell me this?" And I found that to be totally different than I remembered, and I was kind of like, I love it still, like, you know, just for like the show what it is. I feel like sometimes it's not as, it's more annoying than it is anything else, because you're like, let's just get beyond this. Oh, I got one. Lisbeth Salander from Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Ugh, no, annoying.
No, you think she's annoying? No.
I think, yeah. I think for all the reasons that, like, you're sort of, like, Sydney Bristow, eh?
Yeah. No.
Granted, I also just did not love those books. Like, I don't see why people
were
talking about them. I found them irritating.
I did. I love them. What do you think, Shandy? Did you read those?
I started reading one, and it was just, like, I couldn't. I just couldn't. And
no.
So I stopped. And I think I saw the first movie. My husband really likes them and he's read all of them. I will say, so he's like told me a little bit about like the what happens afterwards. I'd like the thing that sticks out in my mind is that she gets breast implants at some point.
Second
and I'm just time. like why? No, it lost me there. No, sorry.
Oh, I don't care. Do what you gotta do if you wanna do it.
No, don't get breast implants. No. Unless you, like, have a mastectomy because you have breast cancer. Like,
well, it was kind of an arbitrary plot point. It was just sort of like, she has all this money now, and she just, like, felt like that's something she wanted to do.
It's like, oh, right, this is written by a man. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's a good point, and that's kind of, like, what I've been thinking about and, like, trying to think of, like, who are my favorite female characters. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the writer and who is creating these characters.
Yes.
I think the one that keeps jumping to my mind, and maybe it's because I'm rewatching it, but CJ Craig on The West Wing, I think she is a fantastic, but I think also just Allison Janney is just a fantastic human being. And I think she brought a lot to the character. Yeah. But like, I think it's a really good example of a male writer being able to write a really strong woman without like pandering.
Yeah. No, but interesting that you bring that up. And I know like last year there's a point in time, like for an undefined period of time, I was only going to read books by women because like, fuck, I just don't do enough. And yeah, it's not like a new idea that I had all by myself. I don't know if, have you guys, it seems fitting. Have you ever read the book Cunt?
No.
But it's amazing. Everyone should read it. It was actually assigned in one of my cousin's like sociology or something classes.
Awesome. I love the word, though. It's called
Declaration of Independence. Yes.
It's your favorite word.
It is my favorite word.
Well, it will be even more your favorite word if you read the book. It's by Inga Muschio. I'm sorry, I don't really know the pronunciation. But it's awesome. And she talks about that in the book, how like it's so important, like the media that we consume in general. And like, if you like look at your bookshelf,
okay,
and you look at the authors that are represented on there, and they're all, you know, male authors, or like 90% male, or even 80% male, 70% male. Like, you should probably be asking yourself, like, why is that? And maybe trying to, like, you know, change that a little bit, because it's not normal. Like, it's kind of our default, and I think we think that it's normal. But if you think about it a little bit, like, it really isn't normal. And so I think that, like, it's important to integrate, you know, different perspectives into kind of what you're consuming. And some people will say, well, what I like just happens to be like all written by males. But then I think you should ask yourself, like, okay, well, so why is that? Like, have you ever read a book by a woman? Or do you read a lot of books by women? But anyway, that's just my long rant to say that sometimes it is hard because we don't, like, we can't think of like good representations because maybe we just haven't read them.
Maybe
because, like, our, it's so like male dominated everything that we consume.
Well, and I think, yeah, I think you bring up a really interesting point. I mean, again, I always am going to flip it back to film and television and media just because that is my wheelhouse.
Yes, do it.
But yeah, there is a huge gap between the roles that men fill and how many women do those that job as well. But I think you bring up an interesting point about how some of it should be on the viewer, that if you're seeking out a female driven film, a female written film, a female directed film, like a female produced show, a female led cast, you're proving to the machine that there is a desire for that thing.
Totally. And Yeah.
So I think you bring up an interesting point that, yeah, if you are only watching things that are male run, but yet you, yeah, like there, yeah, I think you just bring up a very interesting point that my tired brain is having a hard time circling on. So you said it much better than I have, but I feel you and I get it. And I think it ties back to the Orange is the New Black thing you were talking about.
Oh my God, that was...
I was totally going to say that.
Because that is a female-driven show. It's a female-written show.
Oh, I fucking love that show.
It's a very diverse writer's room. Like, yeah, that writer's room is very diverse. And I think because of that, you have a rape scene that thoughtful and careful.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And it does make a difference.
And just like you said, like, it's a very diverse scene also. Like, just like it's important to be asking yourself why you're only reading male authors, it's equally important to be asking yourself why you're only reading white authors. And so, like, getting, again, just, like, different perspectives is super important. And I think Orange is the New Black is, like, it's so different in that it is so male driven in like the cast is there yeah. more women than men, the writers are women, like there's just so many women, and why is that weird? Because for any other series or TV show or whatever, like that's going to be the case just in the opposite direction with men, and we never stop to think like, oh my God, this is like a man's show, right? But so, like, what, so why would we?
No, that's not true. Because look at something like Entourage,
which I've never seen.
So here's what you're gonna. It's maleness.
Okay, sure, but I'm talking about like your average show. Yes. Most of the writers are probably going to be men. Yes. Most of the lead characters are probably going to be men. Like, they'll be like, of course there are, you know, like women in a lot of different shows, but like, they're going to be a little bit more peripheral, or the love interests, or, you know, like there's going to be a lower percentage of just like actual, like, you know, female characters who are actual characters in their own right. And not
something to do.
Right. Exactly. And are not like the object of somebody else's desire or whatever. So yeah, no, Orange is the New Black is awesome. And so you're enjoying it so far? You've started the new season?
I am. I'm not terribly far. I may be 4 episodes in, maybe 5.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm liking it.
Cool.
Well, I'm excited to catch up on that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's good.
Let's get to our next voicemail, because we've got a couple here. And this one is from Alice.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This is Alice calling from Chicago. First off, I wanted to say I'm really excited for your guys' new show, and I can't wait to listen to it every week. So, I'm really excited to see what you guys have to say. My question this week is really simple. That is, if you went back in time to when you were 16, what do you wish you would have known that would have made you maybe make better decisions, or kind of just maybe have more fun with your life, anything? I'm just curious what you wish you had known when you were 16. All right, thanks. Bye.
All right. Mm. So what do we wish?
I love this question. And I feel like, in full disclosure, I should say that Alice is my daughter. Not really.
She's not really your daughter.
I think, honestly, if I could go back and like talk to my 16-year-old self, there's not a lot that I could really say, because you have to sort of live it. But what I would have liked my 16-year-old self to know and to be able to internalize is just to fucking like have a little more self-confidence, because like, really, I think that is one of the most important things that you can have just as a person. And I think that it affects your life in such an important way. And like, there was reason for me to have it when I was 16, and it's something that I've gained over time, which is why I can't just like tell someone you should have this. Like, you have to come to that on your own. But like, if I
go bone everybody,
what I know, what's that?
I said go bone everybody, but just kidding.
No, that's no, but like, actually, that's what I was going to. Like, if I knew then what I know now, I would have gotten so much ass when I was a 16-year-old. But I just didn't have the self confidence for it, and it would have been a lot of fun. Just saying.
Amanda, what would you tell your 16-year-old self?
Be kinder to yourself.
Ooh, that's actually a good one.
Yeah.
Because mine was not.
No. Oh, shut into, up.
Like, self-confidence. But, you know, like, it just...
I didn't mean that.
It's like you're not confident. Like, you're just not kind to yourself. Like, you get all up in your head about, like, stupid bullshit that, and with the gift of hindsight, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I would tell my 16-year-old self that it's going to be okay. I would. Because I was an anxious teenager. My high school friends used to joke that I was like Monica from Friends. And I guess there is still part of me that is kind of like that in certain ways. And it's funny for me to think back on it now, but I think, man, like, I have relaxed so much. And a large part of that is because of Jay, like, has been like, dude, you need to chill out. But I would definitely tell my 16-year-old self, just chill out. Calm down. It's going to be okay. You can only control how you react to other people, and you're going to be fine. Like, as long as you keep a good head on your shoulders and, you know, are able to stay okay, like stay out of trouble or whatever, it's going to be okay. When I was 16, like, I vividly remember some of the things that I had going on, and I would shake myself and be like, you're going to be okay. Like, this does not define you. And I think that that's important for any 16-year-old to know, is the person you are when you're 16, the person you are when you're 14, the person you are when you're 8 years old, the person you are when you're 22 years old. You don't have to be that person when you grow up. You don't. You can be whoever you want to be, and you can adjust your attitude, your mindset, your reactions, your just overall persona. Like, you can be who you want to be, and you can control that. So by all means, you do not have to live under the confines that you thought that you were supposed to be when you were that young. And that's kind of what I would tell myself. The end.
Nice. That's good.
That's good. That's huge.
I like that.
There are so many things that, like, are so inconsequential that we just think are, like, the end of the world at that age.
Yes.
And it's just not true.
Yes, but we think that they're so important. And it's just crazy to go back now and think, you know, I mean, Amanda, some of the stuff that I worried about when we were in college, like, who fucking cares? Like, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Like,
because you don't have the life experience at that point. So everything just feels bigger.
Exactly.
Like, you feel everything so intensely.
Yes.
And the older you get, the more life experience you have.
So exactly. Like, and you don't realize that life is fluid.
Why was I so worried about that?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, it's fluid. Yeah, you can always control your narrative. If you don't like it, you can change it. It might be really hard to change it. It might be an uphill battle. But if you're committed, like, you can do it. You can do it. I feel like that. Like, I feel like you might not be able to control the things that happen to you, but you can control the way that you react to it. It's going to be okay. Like, you can figure it out. You don't have to, like, freak out. I don't know. That's what I would tell my 16-year-old self, is don't freak out. Like, you're fucking fine.
Good deal.
It's all going to be okay. In the words of Dan Savage, it gets better.
It gets better. All right.
Next question.
Let's do it.
Hey, ladies. This is Will from Portland, Oregon. I just wanted to know what you guys think about Taylor Swift and Tom Hiddleston. Now, I love Taylor Swift and I love Tom Hiddleston, but I don't like the idea of them together for some reason. Maybe it's because Taylor's my girl and nobody's good enough for her. And maybe I want Tom Hiddleston for myself, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Celebrity gossip. Go. Bye.
I also want Tom Hiddleston to myself, so I feel like I should be a Tumblr fangirl. Sadly, I was not born in that fucking generation, so whatever they are. But okay, so I have one thing to say about Taylor and Tom Hiddleston. Fake. Come on, dude. They're not really together. Tom Hiddleston wants the fucking James Bond role, so he's going to get whatever publicity he can and play the Hollywood game like they used to play back in the day when they were all gay and, like, hooked up with Hollywood actresses. Whatever. Not saying Tom Hiddleston is gay, but I'm just saying the PR game is in full fucking effect, and there's no way that some paparazzi is going to get, like, 20 feet away from Taylor Swift on the private beach that she owns, that somebody could magically get in without being seen and take those pictures, which happen to be the lamest pictures in the history of paparazzi pictures, where they're dancing together and cuddling on a rock. Like, dumb. That's my thoughts on those. And Tom Hiddles, I thought you were better than that. I really, really, really did.
Yeah, same. I think I kind of don't care enough. And sort of like, I don't see the point of faking a relationship for the media. Like, what is each other's, like, what is the end game?
Because he wants the publicity that comes with, like, he needs the studio to think that he has enough, you know, sales worth to get that James Bond role, since Daniel Craig has announced that he's leaving.
I don't know. I think he's too, like, ambitious to be James Bond. I mean, I love him, don't get me wrong.
Well, that's the thing. But, like, he's ambitious.
I think between him and, like, Idris Elba, like, come on.
Oh, I mean, I think fucking Idris Elba is pretty much going to get it now, and it's Taylor Swift's fault. But I feel like he felt enough competition.
Can that be the title? Because it's Taylor Swift's fault.
Taylor Swift's fault. No, because if I did that, she might have her media team search for her name, and it comes up in Google, and then they're going to sue us.
We get like a cease and desist.
Exactly. Like, don't really use Taylor's name for anything other than Taylor Swift is princess.
Man, we'd go viral.
Oh, we would totally. Oh, maybe I should do that then. I don't know. Fuck whatever. I mean, Taylor's awesome. She does a lot of great things for charity, and I enjoy her music, but my God, that fucking chick needs to either come out as a lesbian or not pick on people just like Tom Hiddleston. Break. Yeah, take a break.
Yeah, just take a little break from the boys.
Shanda, you got anything else?
Like
before?
A real break, not like that.
I did not follow this story whatsoever, and I had to Google who this Tom person was, so.
You had to Google Loki?
Yeah, I don't know what calling him Loki. I don't know what that means.
you guys are saying words, and I'm not understanding.
I like Taylor Swift's songs, and she's really pretty. That's all I got.
But you don't know who Loki is?
No, and I also forgot what I read about him when I Googled him. So
I feel so confused right now. So cool. Let's get to the next voicemail.
Podcast confusion.
Yeah. Let's get to the next voicemail from somebody I'm not super sure who it is. So, yay.
Hello, young ladies. I wanted to commend you on your new podcast. Your spirited discussions are quite the delight, giving a much-needed feminine perspective on matters both trivial and weighty. I do have a question, though, a puzzling conundrum that has plagued me low these many years as I've tried unsuccessfully to solve time and time again. So I was dearly hoping you could assist me in formulating an answer to this. Why, bitch, it's got to be like that. I do hope you can assist me with this. Thank you very much, young ladies.
Wait.
I'm sorry, what?
What the fuck was the question?
I don't understand.
Again, it's like words. I don't understand. I don't know.
Bitches be crazy. Was that in there? Like what?
Young girls, I guess. I mean, we're not. Young ladies.
Like, I'm super confused. This person that called from a 718 area code. If you could call back again or write an email, like, I would super be happy to help you with your conundrum.
We just don't know what it is.
Yeah. I mean, the Google translator talks about spirit discussions. Are you talking about like booze? Because like I can name some of my favorite liquors. I mean, I'm totally cool with that, but I don't get the rest. And I'm really, really sorry. Please don't hate us or write us a bad review or something on iTunes, but call us back. I guess we will now move on to the next phone call. And this is the final phone call. Let's go.
Hey, ladies, or should I say broads? I don't know. I guess whatever works. This is Greg, just calling in. I just have a quick question. I just want to get some female perspectives for this answer. I think I've asked the Merry Men crew about this before, but I feel like, you know, you ladies have a little more perspective on it. So I was wondering if you guys could come up with some, not necessarily ideas, but just some thoughts you have on going out on dates, whether your first date or any kind of date, really. Just something kind of maybe unique or new or something that most people wouldn't think of when it comes to a date. Obviously, you know, there's the common, you know, going out for coffee or drinks, you know, depending on what everyone's preference is. So, yeah, just looking for some date ideas just to spice things up, I guess. All right, that's pretty much it. Thanks, ladies.
All right.
Carl, did you just wink?
I totally did wink. I like winking at you guys because you're attractive females, and I love you dearly. You know, I went. Oh my God! I just almost went. I winked when I listened to that. I meant winked. I'm gonna chalk it up till it's 12:15 in here.
Yeah,
up in this joint.
Really up in her.
So Greg wants some suggestions on first dates. So,
do I have some suggestions?
Well, go for it, bitch. Do it.
Oh, my goodness. Having dated in New York City for more years than I care to admit, the regular old let's meet for a drink date gets pretty old. Actually, my favorite date I've ever been on, we did a walking tour of Lower Manhattan. It was like a history tour. And it was super interesting. As luck would have it, it ended up being just like poorly attended. So we pretty much had the tour to ourselves. It was like us and the tour guide. But I would imagine most areas, something interesting, you know, you don't have to be in a major city to have some sort of interesting historical thing.
I think, I believe Greg lives in Florida. So my advice would be it's probably not Disney a good World. Idea to go to Orlando. Not right now.
No.
I mean,
no.
I know that you guys can't see this right now, but Shandy has her face completely covering her hand and is rocking back and forth and also turning purple with laughter. I think laughter. I hope laughter. Come on, dude. It's funnier when you don't cover your mouth.
I'm trying not to make it audible for the podcast.
I mean, it's horrible. I can't tell you how many times I've cried over the last week. It's just a joke.
Hey, go to the Everglades.
Oh, yeah, because alligators. Great choice, Shandy. Oh. Too soon.
I don't know.
As somebody who literally stayed up crying, like Zach was like so confused because I was like, I'll stay in here until you fall asleep and you can hug me all you want that night. Like, that was awful. Also not great for the next night when I was like, go the fuck to sleep now. I'm not going to stay in here with you. Like, you know, kids. And he was like, mommy, mommy, stay. And I was like, mommy only stayed one night because somebody died. I mean, I'm all. Yeah, you know, Orlando joke, poor taste, poor taste, poor taste. Go ahead, somebody. First dates, please. But don't say no, the Everglades.
I disagree. I think the Everglades is a fantastic date. You stay in a boat.
Okay, so I think, like Amanda was saying, some sort of, like, experience is kind of the way to go. And always. I'm probably, like, the wrong person because I haven't really, like, dated for whatever, like, a lifetime. But, yeah, do something, like, something that you like an activity that you like to do that you think maybe the person will like to do, too. Some sort of shared interest. Like you're saying, like, the history tour or, like, go to, like, an art opening or, like, an art walk or, I mean, other things. It doesn't have to be art related, like whatever you like to do.
Yeah.
Some sort of fun activity that you can, because that's what it's all about, right? It, like in life in general is shared experiences. So, create some memories together. Have fun.
Yeah. Well, also, I think
the thing with dating is that like you, it sucks. Like no one enjoys a first date for the most part. And I think by doing something different, you are making yourself more memorable. Like this walking date didn't materialize into anything, but I still look back on that date so fondly and that person fondly because of it. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm Snapchatting us again. Keep going.
I was like, am I boring you?
Also, Snapchat can't hear anybody talking but me because I don't have the audio on.
Snapchat can't hear you. No, it can't.
No, it can hear me, but it can't hear
Snapchat.
Me.
Don't care.
Yeah, the Snapchat.
Full disclosure: I snapped Colleen during the recording of this. So, Amanda, you really do have to get Snapchat so we can like.
Well, Shandy, your fucking Snapchat is the reason why I decided to do that.
That's right. Actually, I would like to take credit for this, if I may. I was on Snapchat way before anyone on the tribe was on Snapchat and way before like anyone, like way before the craze. So just saying like I was there first, no big deal, whatever. It's all because of me. Anyway, I don't know if that's something to brag about, but Colleen, what's your ideal first date?
Well, I think that my current first date was kind of my ideal first date. And it started with a beer and it ended with a hamburger at Five Guys. And, you know, I love beer and Five Guys, so it was good times.
It started with a beer and it ended with Five Guys? Mm-hmm. Damn, that's a really good date.
It really did. I also think the idea of...
What
did
I date in a restaurant that was on a boat? That was pretty cool.
Ooh, boats oh,
that's
fun.
That was a shitty partner of the date, but the date concept was pretty cool. Yeah, but it's like that's sort of an example of like taking something tried and true, like a going and getting drinks or going to a restaurant, but like turning it on its head a little bit.
Right.
Like finding something that's a little, something that will make it memorable.
Fantastic.
And not just like the same old shit you do every Thursday because you have to go on a date with someone because apparently that is something that is important.
Yeah. you know, Thursday is a very, very busy, hot day of the week.
Yeah. Or like those paint night things. I feel like that would be a fun date.
Okay, so my sister, she takes people, like, she gets the Groupons and, like, takes them things.
Yeah, dude, why not?
But it's been really cool. Yeah, she has never had a bad time at those. She has never had a bad time.
You drink a bottle of wine and you learn how to, like, make something. Like, but it is, that's super cool.
But it is bring your own wine.
Yes.
I feel like that's something that people should know beforehand.
Yes. Yeah.
Ah, well, that makes sense. I've been to one that, too.
I've been to one, though, that was at a bar and you had, like, you could buy drinks there. But yeah, traditionally, I think it is BYOB.
Cool. Good times, guys. I guess that's it for this episode, right? Does anybody have
I think so.
Any final words or whatever that they want to say? The floor is yours.
I think this was another fun episode. I'm really interested to see the feedback that we get. Yes. Also, my tiny little kitten is being super cuddly. She's finally, like, sort of gotten to the place where she's tired and she's being really cute right now. So I'm gonna go snuggle with her.
Aww. Mm,
that's nice.
I actually did hug my son tonight and was like, "Mommy loves you," and he gave me like a hug back. And I looked at Jay and I was like, "He's a better snuggler than you." And Jay was like,
"He's a what?"
Better snuggler than he is. I was like, "He's a better snuggler than you." And he was like, "Thank God, snuggle with him all you want." Until he learns to feel suffocated by snuggling, go for it. And I was like, "I will. Thank you very much." And then he was like, "I mean, it is the summer in the South." And I was like, "Whatever. We could put a fan on or something." But anyway, if anybody wants to do feedback or ask any questions or whatever, our schedule is free next week. So you can email us thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or call us at 331-broads3, aka 331-276-2373. It's been fun chatting with you guys this week. I need to give a special thanks to some of the patrons that are at the sponsor level, and that is Brad from Chicago, Tack from Tokyo, and Eckhart. Thank you guys so much. I'm so sorry that I forgot you last week. Brad said that I'm supposed to thank you guys twice, so thanks, Brad. Thanks, Tack. Thanks, Eckhart. I hope that this meets my quota. Thanks, everybody. And any final words? Again, the sequel.
Sequel.
I don't know. I mean, like, any final words to talk about or any topics you want to talk about next week that we can have people write in about? Anything you guys got?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you're reading and who your favorite female lead characters are. And sure, anything else that we talked about.
All right. That sounds great. Until next week, and clearly I am copying my husband because I have no creativity myself. Until next week, I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Mandy.
It sounded like you said, "I'm Mandy."
Dude, don't be like stealing my...
Do you want me to read that?
Oh my God, that's right. You steal Amanda like we've got Mandy and Shandy. Oh, that would be so confusing. Please don't do that.
Do you want to redo that?
No, I thought that was pretty funny. But I'll redo it just in case. I'll give myself some options when I edit this. All right. Until next time, I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Oh my God, I feel like Shandy. I feel like it should be like, "And then the tribe is spoken." But you know something? This is the broadcast, so.
And this is the broadcast. Sign up.
Yeah. End scene. The end. Talk to you guys next week. Peace out. Peace out. Peace out. Peace out. Bye.
Bye.